Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you very much for coming to the optional seer. It's like you get extra credit, bonus points at the end of the day for coming to the optional seer. So the title of our seer, which is on page 16 of your source sheet, is called "The Feast, Which Is a Fast." And before I begin, I would ask any of you, could you imagine what that might be about? What kind of feast could be a fast? Yeah. The Sudah HaMavseket. Interesting. Why? Ah, that's exactly it. The ninth day of Tishrei, as we'll see in a few moments, is a complicated day. And it's complicated in terms of the way the Torah explains it. And it's downright confusing, to be honest. So let's take a look. We look here at Source Aleph, Source 1. This is in Vayikra Perek Chaf Gimel, where the Torah describes all the different holidays and festivals. And the Torah says as follows. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, God spoke to Moses saying, but on the 10th of this 7th month is the Day of Atonement. Mikra Kodesh Yihyeh Lachem, it shall be a holy day for you. V'initem Nashotechem, and you shall afflict yourselves. Hikravtem Mishael Hashem. So the Torah here is describing Yom Kippur, the 10th day of Tishrei, and it tells us that we should afflict ourselves on the 10th day of Tishrei. So what day is Yom Kippur? The 10th day of Tishrei. Okay. Now the Torah continues. V'chol melacha lo ta'asu v'etzem hayom hazeh. You shall not perform any labor on this day. Ki yom ha-kippurim hu. It is the Day of Atonement. Lechaper alechem v'vnei Hashem elokeichem. To atone for you in front of Hashem, your God. Ki kol ha-nefesh erlo tuneh v'etzem hayom hazeh v'nechata me'ameha. Any soul which does not afflict itself in the midst of this day. Which day? The 10th, this day, in the midst of this day, any nefesh, any soul which is not afflicted, will get cut off from its nation. And any soul which does work in the middle of this day, which day?
The 10th.
The 10th of Tishrei, right? We haven't changed yet. Okay. And I will annihilate that soul from the midst of its nation. A very strict punishment for violating Yom Kippur, either by performing labor or by eating and not afflicting oneself on the 10th of Tishrei. You shall not perform any labor. This is an eternal law for all generations wherever you live. And here's the kicker. Shabbat Shabbaton hu lachem. It is a Sabbath, the Sabbath of all Sabbaths for you. V'initem et nafshotechem, and you shall afflict your souls. B'tisha lachodesh ba'erev, in the ninth of the month, in the evening. Me'erev ad erev, from evening to evening. Tishbetu shabachem, shall you observe your Sabbath. When is Yom Kippur? This is the 10th, but I mean the 9th, but it's also the 10th in the evening. Why is the Torah telling us that we shall be afflicting ourselves on the 9th? Every single year, we fast on the 10th. But this is in the Torah. It is a explicit verse in the Torah regarding Yom Kippur telling us to fast on the 9th. Very confusing. The rabbis recognize the problem here. They gave a few solutions, one of which we're going to focus on, but the solution is in itself problematic. Let's see. Source number 2. Talmud Bavli, Masechet Rosh Hashanah. This is on Dantes, Amud Aleph. Rabbi Akiva, Haivi Niten Nashotechem Matisha May Avilei. Rabbi Akiva, how does he use this pasuk of afflicting oneself on the 9th of Tishrei? Mibayalele Kedetani of Chia Barav Midifti. He requires it for the teaching of Chia Barav from Difti. The Tana Chia Barav Midifti. It says we should afflict ourselves on the 9th of Tishrei. Do we fast on the 9th? Of course not. We fast on the 10th. Now pay attention to the solution. This is to tell you, anyone who eats or drinks on the 9th, the verse, the Torah considers it as if he or she had fasted on the 9th and 10th. What? So if I eat and drink on the 9th, the Torah considers it as if I had fasted on the 9th and 10th. What does that mean? What does that mean? I'm eating and therefore it's as if I'm fasting on the 9th and 10th?
Can we try that on the 10th as well?
Ah, yeah, that'd be good, right? So you'll see why we cannot. So what questions would you have on that?
And the other thing is also they say that it's a mitzvah actually to eat on the
9th. Ah, that's what we're going to get to, right? That's what we're going to get to. So what would you say? What would the question be? So clearly the Gemara is doing it, saying, look, we know we don't fast on the 9th. That's not what we do. That would be difficult, right? Fasting on the 9th and 10th, that would be very difficult. In fact, the reason that we don't keep 2 days in exile, like we usually do on many festivals, we keep 2 days of Yom Tov, we don't do it on Yom Kippur because it's just too hard. We're not going to expect people to refrain from eating and drinking for a 48-hour period. So we don't fast on the 9th, that's clear. But the Torah says to fast the 9th. So what's the solution? We should eat on the 9th. But that's not what it says. It doesn't say to eat on the 9th, it says to afflict yourself on the 9th. Yeah. What was it? What'd you say? What?
The theory behind intermittent
fasting. Intermittent fasting, I am not.
Okay, basically the idea is that the longer you stop eating, the less it drives your hyperthermia. So for example, if you have breakfast at 8 a.m., you might be happy by noon. If you don't have breakfast till 11 a.m., you're probably not going to eat as much because you're not going to feel, you don't really feel hungry until you have breakfast.
So, that is exactly what we will get to according to one opinion. But you're jumping to the solution. You're jumping to the solution, but I appreciate that. Thank you. So the big question, though, is why? How can the Gemara look at a pasuk which tells us to afflict ourselves and say, you know what it means to afflict yourself on the 9th? Eat and drink. And that's question one. What else would bother us here? Again, what is it? What do we accomplish by eating on the 9th? It's as if we fasted on the 9th and 10th. Yeah. How is it a feast which is a fast? Yes. That is one question. Yes.
It says eating 10 and not sure 10 times. It seems to be talking about something spiritual. Why is it all about the body?
That's an amazing question. Not necessarily what I wanted to focus on, but it would seem that by afflicting ourselves and sort of distancing ourselves from our bodies and our physical selves, we engage in the spiritual, and it is therefore a spiritual day. So the Enoi is meant to serve as a context so that it would be a completely spiritual day, which is a very important point and will be relement later. But yeah, yeah.
I just want to clarify. Is it saying that if you fast on the 9th, it's as if you did what you needed to do on the 9th and the 10th?
Good. So this is another point,
so
right?
You don't have to do anything on the
9th. Wait. So the question is, it says it's as if I fasted on the 9th. But who said to fast on the 9th? No one said to fast on the 9th. Right, it sounds like you're doing a really good thing if you eat on the 9th of Tishrei. And it's so good, it's as if you fasted. But why is that good? What if I fasted today? Would that be really good? I mean, no one told me to. Why would the Gemara say, you're doing such a good job, it's as if you fasted on the 9th and 10th, as if to say that, you know, the Torah is commanding you to fast, but you're not fasting, but you're getting credit as if you fasted.
It's,
yeah. Compensate, meaning...
I mean, it takes care of the...
Ah, right, yes.
And yeah, that's what I was going to say. So that you'll be able to go through a
25-hour fast. Okay, perfect. So we're getting to where I need to, we're going to go next. But I think the textual questions are pretty evident. Meaning, number one, how can the Torah say that, or the Gemara say, rather, that when the Torah says we should afflict ourselves, but what we're supposed to actually do on the 9th is eat and drink... And by the way, there might not be a mitzvah quite like this, to eat and drink like there is on the 9th of Tishrei. The more, the merrier. The more eating and drinking you do, it's a mitzvah, right? It doesn't say like 2 meals a day or 3 meals a day. It just says to eat and drink. So how could the rabbis, the sages, derive a mitzvah to continuously eat and drink from a command in the Torah which has to afflict ourselves? And the flip side of that question is, if indeed we are supposed to be eating and drinking, then why is it as if we had fasted? Now these two questions sort of come together, as all of you are suggesting, but that is the problem with this solution. So let's take a look at some explanations. Let's take a look at the Torah to begin with. Source Gimel, this is the Torah, or Achayim, the laws of Yom Kippur. So Hachi Kamar Kram, this is what the pasuk means. Hachinu atzmechem batshi'i, prepare yourselves on the ninth, le'inoy shel machar, for the next day's affliction. What does it mean to afflict yourself? Says the Torah, it doesn't actually mean that you should afflict yourself. Rather, it means you should prepare yourself for the affliction. How does one prepare themselves so that they have the physical well-being to maintain themselves during the affliction of the 10th? By eating and drinking on the 9th. However, since the Torah phrased this command, which is a command to eat, in the language of affliction, what do you think you would get reward for more? Which would bring you more reward? Eating or fasting? Fasting, right? Because what do we say in Pirkei Avot? Lepum sara agra, right? No pain, no gain. The more pain, the greater reward. So I'm demonstrating more commitment by fasting, and that should presumably get a greater reward. Therefore, the Torah tells you, by eating on the 9th and 10th, even though that's a pretty easy mitzvah, because it's easy to eat and drink, you get rewarded as if you had a command to fast and had actually fasted. You get a greater reward. So just simple terms, that is how we deal with this complication. It's phrased as a command to afflict yourself because that gives you greater reward. But the way you fulfill that command is by eating. It's the feast, which is a fast, right? Okay. So, simple question though. Why would we be commanded to do this? Right? Why would we be commanded to eat and drink on the night? I can think of two different directions. Yeah. So, wow, you said a lot of things. So which two things? You said we're happy on Yom Kippur,
yeah.
And so therefore
being sad, so we should have a comfortable fast.
We're happy on Yom Kippur, and therefore we want to make sure our fast is comfortable, and therefore we perform it. Okay, yes.
Yom Kippur is a Yom Tov, so you're supposed to eat and drink on Yom Kippur.
Ah.
The thing is that you can't do it, so we have to do it today.
Excellent, excellent. So I'm hearing yes. Do you want
to
add? Ah, so that spiritual high is what the Chazal are aiming at. Interesting. So I think we have two different, yes?
Denial is not a Jewish way of reaching God. He doesn't ask us to deny ourselves in order to come closer to Him.
Which might be precisely the point. Which might be why God is specifically telling us, as we'll get to in a few minutes, not to fast on the ninth. Don't think this is something that Judaism generally recommends. We're not a religion of affliction. You have to eat on the 9th and only fast on the 10th. Okay, so we have a few different perspectives. Either it's to prepare you for the next day, it's to celebrate, which is a very important perspective, that Yom Kippur is not like Tisha B'Av. It's not that we're sad and therefore we're not eating. One clever way of putting it I once heard was, on Tisha B'Av, we don't eat because who could eat? After everything we've gone through as a people, all the destruction and the suffering, who could eat? On Yom Kippur, it's who needs to eat. We're on such a high spiritual level. We're so close to God, we're so spiritual, we're so devoid of physicality that who needs to eat? Why should I spend my time eating and drinking? I'm on such a high level. So this fast of the eating on the 9th might reflect both these perspectives. So the question I want to focus on as we go to the next sources quickly is, do we view this day of the 9th as an independent day? It's the Yom Tov that we can't have on the 10th. It's that we should celebrate the opportunity to get close to God and atone for our sins and do tshuva, but we can't celebrate it in the normal way on the 10th because
we're fasting.
We're fasting and we can't eat. And therefore we take another day and eat on that day. Or is it more simple? And it's a preparation for the next day. So let's take a look at a few of these explanations. Okay, take a look at the next page, page 17. Source number, Dalet. This is the Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah wrote a whole book about how to repent and the different steps and elements of repentance and tshuva. And here he's actually talking about that part of tshuva, part of atonement, is not just being sad that you sinned, but being happy when you achieve the atonement. That the more you celebrate after having corrected the things that you have done wrong shows how much it bothered you and how appreciative you are of repairing that relationship. And in this context, Rabbeinu Yonah gives us three different explanations as to why it is Chazal understood we should be eating and drinking on the 9th of Tishrei. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, Kein amru Rabbeinu Tinu zachronam levracha, therefore the rabbi said, Kol hakoveya suda be'erev yom ha-kivrim ki'ilu nitztava letanot she'iva asiri v'hitana bahem. Anyone who establishes a repast on the eve of Yom Kippur, it is as if he had been commanded to afflict himself on the 9th and 10th and done so. Ki har'eh simchato b'higia z'man kaparato. He is demonstrating his happiness and joy upon reaching the time of his atonement. I'm so happy to prepare my relationship with God. I am so happy to get over being encumbered by these sins. I'm going to celebrate with this repast on the 9th of Tishrei. It is a testament to how much he worried, how guilty he or she felt, and his sadness about his sins. Number one, we eat and drink on the 9th to show how happy we are that we're getting to tshuva. Now, would that be necessarily connected to the next day? Would that be contingent upon the next day? Clearly it is related, but it's not the same idea. On the 10th, we focus on being sad that we sin. On the 9th, we focus on the fact that we're happy that we're going to achieve atonement. Number two, V'asheni ki b'shar yamim tovim anachnu kovim suda simchat mitzvah. Usually on holidays, generally we have a suda. We have a celebrative feast. Why do we do that? Ki yigdal v'yishkem mo'ot tzchar simchat mitzvot. It's important to celebrate mitzvot. It's important to celebrate when God gives us the opportunity to connect with Him and we have the opportunity to do a mitzvah. We celebrate by eating. That's why we eat on Rosh Hashanah and on Sukkot and on Pesach and Shavuot. We have a celebratory feast for our unique relationship with God. But we can't do that on Yom Kippur. Neshat Som b'Yom HaKippurim nidchayvu l'kfoa suda al simchat ha-mitzvah be'erev Yom HaKippurim. Because of the fact that we can't have the celebratory feast on Yom Kippur itself, we do it on the 9th. So, no, option number one, it's celebrating our atonement. Option number two, it's a simchat mitzvah. It's celebrating our mitzvah of Yom HaKippurim in a way that we cannot do on the actual holiday. And number three, which I'm sure many of you are thinking, Vashlishit leman nechazak laharbot tfila v'tachnunim b'yom HaKippurim, so that we have the strength to pray and to supplicate on Yom Kippur, Vashlishit etzo b'navshenu al tshuva yikareha, and to give us the intellectual strength to think about the best way to do tshuva. Simply, if we want to have the opportunity to capitalize on Yom HaKippurim, we need to be physically prepared, and to do so, we eat and drink on the 9th. I want to go through a few explanations with you quickly, and it's really amazing the different ways that the Mefarshim take this idea. Does eating help you prepare for Yom Kippur, or maybe it does the exact opposite? If you look at Source Hey, the Torah Tmima says, no, it's not that eating helps you afflict yourself the next day, eating on the previous day makes it worse. Because when you stuff yourself and you're just full of food and all of a sudden you have to fast, you get so hungry so quickly, right? Like comes Kol Nidre and afterward the rabbi's talking, you're just like, oh man, that was quite a sudama second, right? And no one wants to fast after that. So says Torah Tamima, Therefore, it is said, our sages taught that anyone who eats and drinks on the ninth, the Torah considers it as if he had afflicted himself on the ninth and tenth. It's because it becomes worse. By eating and drinking on the ninth, my fast becomes more difficult. And since it becomes more difficult, how much reward do I get? Double reward. It's like a 2-day fast in one. It's such a hard fast. It's as if I had fasted on the ninth and tenth. So the opposite. It's not that it's helping me. It's hurting me. The Chachmat Shlomo, one of the commentaries on Shulchan Aruch, it has a similar approach, but not in a physical way, an emotional way. Imagine, you have a difficult sentencing in front of you. You were tried for a crime, and you're appearing in front of the court the next day. What do you do that day? Are you going to spend the day eating and drinking and celebrating? Of course not. Who would do that? Who would do that? So why do we say it's like an affliction? A person eats and drinks on the ninth, all of a sudden it's Kol Nidre. And we realize we're about to get judged the entire year, and what do you say to yourself? How could I have spent the entire previous day stuffing myself? What was I doing? Why was I not repenting? Why was I not focusing on the judgment upon me? So it's like afflicting yourself because of the emotional pain you go through once you get to Yom Kippur. Very interesting. Another approach, though, and I think this is one that hasn't been mentioned yet, which is another important one, although it's relevant to what you were saying before, is that why do we eat and drink on the ninth? It's to make Yom Kippur distinctive. That we shouldn't view Yom Kippur as just a run-of-the-mill day, a normal day. This is what we do in Judaism. We fast for our sins. No, Yom Kippur is unique. It is a one day a year. It's Achat Bashana, to separate the day before and to make Yom Kippur unique. What we do is we eat and drink the day before. So Yom Kippur is unique and holy and distinct. This is the one day a year when we are doing this to ourselves, and it's only because it is a vehicle for getting close to God. Generally, we eat and drink. That is the human experience. We cannot be like angels all year. So on the ninth, we eat and drink, and that is a normal human experience. On the tenth, to set it aside, therefore, what we don't eat and drink. And that is what you will find in source number 7 and other sources as well. The Maharal says this in a sort of spiritual way. The Rav Soloveitchik explained this, and this is found in Rishurkin Shirim by Rav Soloveitchik. Okay, so I'd like to deal with the remaining time that we have is to test these different options. Why does this make a difference? The fundamental question in front of us is the ninth of Tishrei preparatory and contingent upon the next day, or is it a separate entity unto itself? One interesting thing is the Beit Yosef in this in Source 8. The Beit Yosef wonders, is this obligatory or is it optional? What the Gemara had said, anyone who eats and drinks on the ninth gets a big reward. Do I need to eat and drink on the ninth, or is that simply a recommended activity, but you don't need to? And the Beit Yosef is not sure. First he says, well, you know, it's to prepare for the next day, and maybe some people will prepare in a more effective way by not eating. And that's how they will show their commitment to being ready for Yom Kippur. But then he says, no, maybe you have to eat and drink. And this is how we generally understand that you should eat and drink on Yom Kippur. It's Erev Yom Kippur, not Yom Kippur. Big typo. On Erev Yom Kippur. And it's not optional. I would think that this might be tied to this idea. If you think, the more you think that it's independent of Yom Kippur, that the ninth is its own holiday of eating and drinking, it should not be optional. Because you're not just preparing for the next day. What you're doing is celebrating the ninth. If you indeed think that the ninth is to prepare for the tenth, maybe you can choose how you prepare for Yom Kippur. In source number 9, the She'iltot adds a word. He says, anybody who eats and drinks on the ninth and fasts on the tenth, the Torah considers it as if he had fasted on the ninth and tenth. What if I'm not going to fast on the tenth? What if, unfortunately, I'm one of those people who is incapable of doing it, or I'm pregnant? What if I can't fast on the 10th? Am I obligated to eat on the 9th? So again, if we view this as contingent upon the tenth, meaning you're eating to prepare yourself for the fast, or you're eating on the ninth to set aside the tenth as a unique day, then someone who's not fasting would not be obligated, because the purpose of the ninth is to amplify the effect of the tenth. However, again, if it's its own unique and individual holiday showing our rejoicing and at how happy we are to finally repair that relationship with God, so then maybe you should eat anyway, because the 10th is not the point. Eating on the 9th is a separate idea from fasting on the 10th. A few other ideas here. The Magen Avraham is, and the Mincha Chinuch talk about how much does one need to eat. So all the Gemara told us was you should eat and drink on the 9th. Do I need to have a Se'udah? Right, on Shabbos, on Shabbat, we make sure to have 3 Se'udot on the night and during the day. Should I be eating on the night of the 9th of Tishrei as well? Do we view this as an independent Yom Tov? Or no, it's simply a preparatory stage before the fast, and therefore you don't need to have 2 meals. You can eat as much as you want. It really all depends on you. So again, one test case. Should it be optional? Should it be contingent on fasting on the 10th? And how much do you need to eat? All depends on this idea. Finally, Rabbi Akiva Eger in source number 12 discusses whether or not women are obligated in the feast, on the 9th. Now, why would women not be obligated? Usually women are not obligated in a positive time-bound mitzvah. Clearly this needs to be on the 9th. It is a positive time-bound mitzvah. Yes. And one of the exceptions might be this. Why?
Because they have to fast also.
Exactly. Since they are obligated to fast on the 10th, maybe they should also be obligated to eat on the 9th. And they also get a mitzvah. However, the more you think of it as an independent day unto itself and a time-bound mitzvah, maybe they would not say that. The particular context was, he was asked if people don't want to eat, do they need to? And he said women do not need to eat if it will be injurious to their health. I'll leave you with the following idea. What we've seen is that there is this idea of eating on the 9th and fasting on the 10th. And I think it reflects two simultaneous perspectives. On the one hand, the Suda on the 9th reflects how we're human, and we embrace that, and we eat, and we drink, and that also is a vehicle for serving God. However, on the 10th, we try our best to go up a level, to ascend to the level of angels, and be completely spiritual. And this is a dialectic we're constantly struggling between. Do we push ourselves further to be spiritual, or do we embrace our humanity and do the best within our actual context? And so, as we approach the 9th and 10th of Tishrei, we should be zocha to fast in a healthy way. Everybody should be able to enjoy the day of Yom Kippur, rejoice in that atonement, in the joy of getting back with our Creator, and it should be a ktivah v'chatimah tovah for all of us. Thank you very much.